You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 290 of Locked On Raptors for Friday, March 9th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of LockedOnRaptors.com and RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors, where you can find links to every single episode. Make sure you're checking all the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. All 30 NBA teams, all 32 NFL teams covered for you with great local perspectives from all the hosts. You can find Locked On Fantasy with Josh Lloyd, Locked On NBA with David Locke as well, all on the network. So make sure you're checking out those shows and finding a host that you like and dig. And if you find one, find their show on iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review. You can do that with us. Find Locked On Raptors, ratings, reviews. They take no time at all. It's a great way to support the show, stroke my ego, all that good stuff. So thanks in advance for doing that. All right, on today's show, I am joined by a very special guest. It's Ethan Rothstein. He's the managing editor of the Dream Shake, SB Nation's Rockets site, and we're going to talk about the Houston Rockets, who are in town to take on the Raptors tonight. I'm headed to the game a little bit. This should be a really fun one between two very good teams leading the East and Western Conference, respectively, both on win streaks. The Rockets' 17-game win streak is far more impressive than the Raptors' 6-gamer, but let's dive into this thing. Ethan, how's it going, man?
It's going good. Happy to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you on. The Rockets are really freaking good. 51-13. Of course, that 17-game win streak right now. For people maybe who haven't watched much of the Rockets, and I'm sure people have caught them on many a national TV game this season, but for Raptors fans who haven't quite seen, you know, the full season for the Rockets, how would you best sum up sort of their identity with James Harden and Chris Paul? Because obviously the talent is kind of like the overarching thing there, but like how's this team played? How has this team gotten to such, you know, heights with their success this year?
I would say that the dominant theme has basically been ruthless efficiency. They have engineered their roster with a very specific vision in mind, which is to match up with and beat the Golden State Warriors. Chris Paul was obviously the major addition, and he is one of the most efficient players in NBA history. James Harden, very much the same way. Although Harden is more math-oriented and Paul is more control-oriented, they've managed to mesh their games together. And not only on offense, where their pace is actually much slower, they're playing the slowest pace in the league over these last 17 games. But on defense, with guys like P.J. Tucker, Luke Mbah-Mute, Clint Capella, Eric Gordon, all of whom can play, other than Capella, who's our rim protector, all of whom can play multiple positions. They can switch everything. And their defensive scheme is patterned much like the Warriors, which is viewed as kind of the hallmark of defensive efficiency. So in both ways, on both sides of the ball, they've really made it a point to do the math and come up with the most efficient way to play, and they've executed that vision to a T, to the tune of the best record in the league and a 17-game winning streak.
Yeah, they're taking the efficiency thing to like a whole new level. You mentioned they're playing at the slowest pace, and their defense actually, I can't remember the color guy's name for the Milwaukee Bucks. I was watching the Bucks-Rockets game this morning, and he dropped the stat that the Rockets have the fewest defensive miles run this season on defense, which probably owes a lot to that switching that you talked about, where it seems like they're just content to switch everything. It doesn't really matter. They're comfortable with James Harden guarding fours and sort of guarding in the post because he's actually pretty good at that. They're comfortable, you know, Chris Paul guarding guys who are bigger. Like, it doesn't really seem to matter to them. So when it comes to the Raptors, I mean, DeMar DeRozan is the guy, sort of the topic du jour right now, especially around the NBA, considering what happened in that game against Detroit on Wednesday. And usually with the Raptors, they usually have, you know, a guy on the other side who's lining up with DeRozan and kind of shadowing him possession for possession. Is that something we'll see tonight from the Rockets, or are they just kind of content to just like, all right, this guy's guarding him this possession, and then it's Ariza this one, Tucker the next one, Harden the next one? Like, does it really matter to them? Or will we see someone sort of shadow DeMar for most of the game tonight?
I think you'll see Ariza on him to start, but you know, the Raptors run plenty of pick and roll, and the Rockets will just switch those every time. So while Ariza will start on DeRozan most possessions, likely he will not finish on him. They run with, I think, P.J. Tucker is their starting four guy right now. He's very comfortable switching on to perimeter players, especially DeMar, who relies more on kind of footwork and craftiness rather than speed and explosion. Which would give Tucker a little more trouble, but I think both of them match up well. but Ariza is really their front line perimeter stopper. They like Tucker to be switched more on guys on the inside because he's so burly and has such a low center of gravity. But, you know, as the game progresses, I'm sure Ariza will be out when DeRozan is in, and then you'd see Tucker. I wouldn't be surprised to see a fair amount of Eric Gordon. Mm-hmm. DeRozan, Gordon's been great defensively, and he'll always be the two guy out there next to Harden or Chris Paul. So that would be a matchup that also makes sense.
Yeah, P.J. Tucker, actually, last year when the Raptors traded for him, DeMar said that P.J. Tucker gave him more trouble than anybody before he was actually on his team. So that, I'm interested to see if they'll throw him on him at all. And yeah, and those switches that you mentioned, that'll be kind of interesting too. Although the Raptors, like, their pick and rolls are weird. They'll run some like 1-2 stuff, although less so this season. They you know, they haven't run quite as much pick and rolls as they used to. It used to be every single possession was pick and roll. Now it's a bit more free flowing with some off ball screening and stuff like that. But yeah, the Rockets defense is fun to watch because they're so disciplined and sort of rigid in what they do. And you know, they're the number 10 defense in the league right now. Obviously, it's working for them. Just a side note on PJ Tucker, how dope is that dude to root for?
He's a lot of fun. The Rockets have had a guy who's like the dopest to root for a long time in Patrick Beverley.
Yeah.
We traded him away for Chris Paul, and now it's super sad. You know, he's towards ACL. But Tucker is kind of like a Beverley light. He's not quite as insane as Patrick Beverley. Beverley is fully out of his mind in the best possible way, but he brings the same grit, energy, he must have closed out at least 5 or 6 games for the Rockets this year just on the glass alone. Mm-hmm. Especially, they love to go small with him or Mbamute at the 5. And when they do in the closing minutes, he grows 6 inches, it seems, and secures like the most clutch rebounds, the most clutch loose balls. So he's a really fun guy to have around. And he's, as you know, the Raptors experienced last year, he's really the perfect role player for a team that fancies itself a contender, because he does not need the ball at all, and he's really content to do the dirty work, which the Rockets need.
Yeah, his rebounding was kind of the reason the Raptors' defense was able to work last season, because they threw Tucker out there with Serge Ibaka, and you know, Ibaka's not a great rebounder for his position by any means, and let alone when he's playing center. But like Tucker, like you said, there were plenty of games where Tucker would just, like, I think his first game against the Celtics out of the All-Star break, he had like 11 rebounds, and was kind of the reason that you could go small and, you know, maintain a front line that could have like a 97 defensive rating, as opposed to having to have like a Jonas Valanciunas out there or something like that. So yeah, no strangers to PJ Tucker and his value. I'm sure he'll get a nice ovation tonight when they announce him, because Raptors fans certainly missed that dude. So let's go back to James Harden. Like, people are trying to conjure up the MVP debate because people just have to debate the MVP. I don't really see that it's a debate. I mean, I love Anthony Davis and stuff, and he's been incredible, and the Pelicans are a super fun story. But Harden's been ridiculous all season long, and I think maybe one of the secret things about him is that his defense is, like, no longer a joke, and it's actually, like, is he just, like, kind of a good defender now?
Yeah, it's interesting that first of all, he's spending less energy on offense than he was because of Chris Paul, and because they're playing at such a slower pace. So that just inherently makes him a stronger defender, because he used to really just not care that much about defense. But this year they have schemed in a way that puts him in the best positions. He's never guarding really the opposing two guy, who is traditionally someone who's running around getting a lot of off-ball screens. That is really Harden's biggest weakness. So he loves switching into the post, as you mentioned, and he's really good at doing that. The Rockets did that in the playoffs to great effect last year, until I think it kind of helped wear Harden down, because switching to the post against most players is one thing. Switching to the post against LaMarcus Aldridge is something completely different. But he's very comfortable guarding bigs throughout the stretch of the game, and he's got a low center of gravity, and he's really hard to back down. He's got great hands. He's top 10 in the NBA in steals, basically 2 a game. He's raised his level, and I think having Chris Paul next to him has also helped have a vocal leader on the floor who knows the scheme, who knows what the opponents are running, so Harden doesn't really have to think too much. He can just kind of listen and read and react.
Fair enough. Yeah, the Rockets, based like on Harden and Paul, they've been just so, and you mentioned the efficiency. Like, it's just they've been unstoppable this season. And I mean, you play like the number one defense in the league in Boston over the weekend and score 124 points per 100 possessions on them. Obviously, it hasn't happened much, and the Celtics, I guess, were one of these teams early in the season that kind of helped slow them down a bit. But has there been sort of a common denominator for teams that have actually been able to sort of give the Rockets offense trouble?
You know, the one team that really, when the Rockets have been full strength, which is to say James Harden, Chris Paul, and Clint Capella are in the lineup, they're 34-1 this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a stat that's been trotted out a lot, and the reason is because it's insane. But the one loss they had was to the Pelicans when it was actually DeMarcus Cousins' last game of the season.
Right.
And that was really, you could see in that moment, oh, this is a team that could really give the Rockets problem because they were so big, but also those two bigs were so versatile that they could really wall off the paint. They could, Davis can switch onto Harden and Paul and give them all kinds of problems. And then on the way back down, the Rockets couldn't go small against them because they would just get abused and they didn't have the big man depth. Other than that, I haven't seen any team really successfully slow down the fully healthy Houston Rockets. They've only lost that one game, and all the games they've had with those guys in there, when they've wanted to get buckets down the stretch, they've been able to do it.
Right.
Because all they do is run a pick and roll and have the Rockets player who has the weakest defender on the other team come set the screen. The other team will inevitably switch, and then either Harden or Chris Paul will go one-on-one, and they are number one and number two in the NBA this year in isolation scoring. And that's what happens, and that formula has been basically flawless all year long.
Yeah, Raptors fans are no stranger to that strategy, although it's done with DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, who are excellent, but they're not James Harden and Chris Paul. When you look at what the Raptors present, is there anything that they have in terms of their makeup, in terms of how they play, that you think could potentially sort of do something similar to what the Pelicans did in that game that you alluded to?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know Valanciunas has been a lot better this year than he was in years past.
Mm-hmm.
I profess I haven't watched a ton of Raptors games, even though I'm a big fan of the way they play. And I always root for their success just because you love an underdog story. But, you know, Serge Ibaka is kind of the exact kind of player that the Rockets love to play against, because even though he's a great shot blocker, he is not the most laterally quick guy. And on offense, you know, traditionally he's like to shoot a lot of mid-range shots and, you know, has not been a really traditional, a traditionally efficient big man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bench unit will be an interesting challenge for the Rockets because I don't think they have faced a bench unit quite like that with all the energy and athleticism. There actually just aren't too many of those around in the league, which is, I think, why it's been so effective for the Raptors. But it's as a Rockets fan and a Rockets writer, it's been really kind of, you know, this is champagne problems, but it's been tough to write about this team because they don't have any glaring weaknesses other than their health. Even their depth now has been completely short up. They have Joe Johnson, Gerald Green, Brandon Wright, they have Anderson's been hurt for a while, and he's not going to play tonight. But, I mean, for any situation, they have a combination of players they can throw out that will give them an advantage over the other team.
Yeah, and it's going to be an interesting test case, I think, for the bench tonight for the Raptors. And they're without DeLon Wright, which kind of eats into the effectiveness of that unit. And I guess it'll be Norman Powell or Malcolm Miller or someone who's taking up those minutes. Or maybe this will be a situation where they decide to actually stagger the stars and play Kyle at the start of the second quarter like they have in years past but haven't quite done this year. But like the big question for the bench all season has been, are they going to be able to sort of maintain this in the playoffs when you're playing tougher second units and, you know, stars are on the court at all times? And the Rockets have 48 minutes of Hall of Fame point guard play on the floor at all times. So I'm curious to see how that'll work. I guess it's to a lesser extent, but I also kind of agree. When teams are really good, it's hard to write about them, man. It's a really good problem to have, but it's definitely not as easy to sort of complain about stuff. The Rockets, I guess their whole season is going to be measured against the Warriors. It's kind of a similar situation with the Raptors and the Cavs in the East. And kind of everything leading up to it kind of feels trivial. I don't know. The Rockets, to me, I guess over the course of the season, it's felt like, you know, they're playing for second place and they're just so obviously second place. And, you know, the Warriors are still the Warriors and they're going to be the Warriors come a conference finals or whatever it is. But has anything over the last 17 games started to make you think like this, they could actually maybe do the thing in the Western Conference and like beat the Warriors in a series?
Not these 17 games, but I think the two games that the Rockets beat the Warriors gave me more confidence. The Rockets have won the season series against the Warriors already this year. They don't play again. And just the culmination of the season to this point, that 34-1 number, that's the confidence right there. Right. Is that when they've been healthy, there is not a team that currently exists that has beaten them. You're right. If Cousins is out, that Pelicans team is just different than it was before. So they're undefeated against teams currently in the NBA with their healthy team. So that is all the confidence you need. Do I think that, you know, it's a sure thing that the Rockets are going to beat the Warriors? Absolutely not. I still, if the Rockets played the Warriors in a 7-game series starting tomorrow, I would pick the Rockets because I'm a fan, but I would not predict them to win. Just because the Warriors have been there, and when the Rockets, and this, particularly James Harden and Chris Paul, have been there in the biggest moments, they've not played their best. They've never had a teammate like each other before. And Chris Paul's numbers are down from his career averages, but he's still averaging 19 points and 8 assists a game. They're combining for 4 steals a game. When they have, you know, played at the court at the same time, they have played perfectly off of each other, where depending on the matchup, one will go in isolation or the other. They've meshed beautifully when one is on the court without the other. So just the way that they've played the season to this point, and their record when they've been fully healthy, which, you know, knock on wood, their 3 most important pieces are healthy right now, we're as confident as we can be. There's nothing that we can see from the rest of the season that's going to give us more confidence. Just they've continued to perform. They've continued to win in every situation, including road back-to-back just earlier this week against the Thunder and then the Bucks, that they handled easily. And these are 2 playoff teams. They blew out the Spurs. They blew out the Cavs. They blew out the Celtics. Or they came back from significant deficit to beat the Celtics. This Raptors game tonight is really the biggest test that they have. They don't play the Warriors again. The Raptors are, I think, the clear third best team in the league. And the Rockets are on the road against the best home team in the NBA. So if the Rockets win tonight and win their 18th straight game, you know, we're basically home free. There's nothing left to prove. There's nothing left to do. It's just how many games can we win? And how do you rest guys and make sure that they're fresh for the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, I want to see the Rockets do it. I know some people don't like James Harden or Chris Paul. I was always a Chris Paul guy when he was with the Clippers, and the jokes about them not making it deep in the playoffs are kind of tired to me. And they're really fun to watch, and I would like to see a little bit of a change and like some fresh blood. As much as I like sort of dynasties and stuff like that, the Warriors are not quite as compelling to me as the Rockets are this year. And, you know, I can look at the Rockets roster and see some distinct, like, real advantages. Like, I mean, Steph Curry just sprained his ankle, so who knows what's going on there. But, like, definitely I would give the edge in terms of bench pieces and depth and sort of, you know, for the first time in a while, I think the Warriors are kind of outgunned there when it comes to, you know, their biggest opposition. Like, the Rockets are super deep, as you mentioned, with all the guys they added and just all the guys they had before even making those buyout pickups. They're a super deep and interesting team and versatile, and they are, as you said off the top, like, entirely geared towards beating the Warriors. And I wonder, 3 years into being excellent, like, how much does that weigh on a team? I know Kevin Durant kind of, you know, refreshed everything when he came to the Bay last year, but I don't know. I would have said at the start of the season I'm 100% confident that the Warriors are going to the finals and going to win the title, but I'm less so now. Maybe it's like 65-70%, but the Rockets are making me think about it, and maybe seeing them in person tonight will help boost that number up as well. What's the line for tonight? I got to pull that up. The Rockets are 2.5-point favorites. If you had to make a pick, Evan, or Ethan, why did I say Evan? I think I know an Evan Rothstein. That's why it's in my head. My apologies.
Sorry, half the people call me Evan, the other half call me Ian or Nathan.
No, if you had to pick a winner tonight, 2.5 points for the Rockets, what are you taking for this game?
How do you pick against a team that's won 17 in a row?
That's true, yeah.
You know, if you ask me, is this the toughest game they have on the 17-game win streak so far? Then the answer is yes. But I don't think they're going to lose. They simply don't lose. Capella's in, which is a huge, a huge boost, even though he's a little nicked up. But they can go small, and Nene should be healthy. Tarik Black should be healthy. PJ Tucker is a great small ball 5. So is Luke Mbamute. I think the Rockets are going to win. They might not cover. I really hope for a close game, the thing about the one thing I can nitpick about the Rockets is that when the game, when the gap grows in the fourth quarter, it has been kind of an unpleasant watch, just because they take their foot off the gas and they lean way too much into the ISO heavy ball,
right,
and they try to take shots at 2 or 3 seconds left in the shot clock to really, you know, work the clock and work the math. But you know, in those moments, it becomes kind of a slog and they lose their edge. So I'm hoping for a close game, just because when those games have happened, they've been incredibly entertaining. They've moved the ball. Guys like Ariza and Tucker have hit huge shots. And, you know, most importantly, they've locked down on defense to a degree that the Rockets have just not done since Jeff Van Gundy was coaching the team.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Rockets too. 2.5, not quite big enough for me to want to take the Raptors to cover. Without OG, I mean, OG did such a great job on Harden in the first matchup, and I know the Raptors won that game, but there was no Chris Paul, no DeLon for the Raptors tonight either, and that takes away two of your better defenders to throw at both Rockets guards. So the Raptors tend to get up for games like this, so I'm expecting a close one, and it should be a really fun one, and the ACC should be absolutely rocking. But I'm going to take the Rockets in a close one, and it should be a lot of fun. Ethan, this was a lot of fun.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Before we wrap up?
Yeah.
Where do you, as a Raptors homer, where is DeMar DeRozan in the MVP rankings to you?
This one is so hard because there's so many dudes who are like quote unquote in the conversation that it gets hard.
But he hasn't even been mentioned in the top 5 votes, which to me is a crime.
I think he will get some top 5 votes. I think there's so many guys who are going to get that fifth vote. I would say like right now it's probably Harden, Davis, probably Steph, I guess, or KD, one of those two. Maybe they cannibalize each other's votes. LeBron's still in there for me. And then it's like the next group of guys is like, I guess before Jimmy Butler got hurt, it was Butler. Dame Lillard has been so good lately. Giannis,
yeah, Giannis.
DeMar. Like, I think he's probably in that like 5 to 8 range. And like that's more than the Raptors have ever had, so I'll take it. I think is like
I would personally vote for him over LeBron or either of the Warriors guys. I just, you know, as the season has gone on, it's just been clear that everything the Raptors do and have changed has worked because of him,
yeah,
and his adaptability. And he's taking it to another level. And it's just, you know, it's time to reward him, I think. You know, he's one of my favorite players to watch because it's really like watching a transport of like the best of 80s, 90s basketball make it work in the modern NBA. And it's just kind of like a refresher as a longtime basketball fan that, you know what, like skill, fundamentals, footwork, these are attributes that, you know, translate styles that just no matter what, they're effective if used in the right way. So I think he should be getting more love than he does, and it's, I know why, it's the same Raptors Canada bias as always, but I'm happy to come on your show and cape for DeMar because I love his game.
The listeners are very happy that you just did that little bit of DeMar love, and I, you know what, you're not wrong. Like, he's been incredible this season. He's like obviously the biggest reason they've been so good. I guess the defense still kind of weighs on people, and yeah, the Canada thing, but he plays more like he did on Wednesday against the Pistons, which thankfully was a national TV game, so everyone got to see that because it was awesome. I wouldn't be shocked if he gets up into that top 3, 4, 5, somewhere in there. Ethan, you're a top 3, 4, or 5 guest in the history of this podcast, considering how you finished this thing out.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming on. Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Always works.
Absolutely. Do you have anything you want to plug?
No, just visit thedreamshake.com. We have lots of great stuff on that website, and we'll have coverage of tonight's game and, you know, our game fit. Our community's you know, very passionate and very great. So if Raptors fans want to chime in our game three comments, we're very happy to have all Eastern Conference fans. When Western Conference fans get in there, it gets a little prickly, but Eastern Conference, we have nothing but love for the Eastern Conference. We would just be happy to be facing an Eastern Conference team in the playoffs.
Make sure you check out the Dream Shake. I'll be covering the game for Raptors HQ tonight, the SB Nation sister site to Dream Shake as well. So comment on both sites and give those clicks and all that stuff. Ethan, we'll talk to you in the finals, man. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Cheers.